So I think it's fair to say that 2024 has been a challenging year, you know, with lots of priorities elsewhere, looking at how we can support healthcare, how we can look at efficiencies across government and look at where we can support things such as housing and wider development. So there has been lots of other things going on. However, there have absolutely been some real win-win opportunities within the climate change sphere. And a lot of that has been around focusing on projects that have co-benefits. So one of the big spends really has been through the energy efficiency scheme and through Green Living Grant scheme. So looking at how we can reduce the heating emissions. And we have seen a big success story really in that area with 26% reduction, give or take, I think it is, since 2018. Saying that, we know there's also lots of bigger areas that there's still a lot of work going on to address. And we've been doing a lot of the scoping work to make sure that when we are spending those bigger sums of money, we'll be doing it in the right places.
One of the central findings of the report is that overall emissions have only fallen by 3.8% since 2018. The island is legally required to reduce them by 35% by 2030. Is that target still realistically achievable?
So I think we're quite open that the changes in terms of the falls we've seen this year, and it is relatively small, is a lot of it due to people reducing the amount of heat they're using because of bills having risen, people making their own choices, and also some of that work that's been done around making homes more efficient in terms of how we heat them. The really big wins through all of the climate change work will be decarbonisation of our electricity supply. And that's the work that takes a lot more preparatory time, I suppose.
And I just want to talk about electricity decarbonisation, because that is meant to be fully decarbonised by 2030. But the report now lists it as at risk. What is the plan to get that target back on track?
So this is an area that we're doing a lot of work on at the minute in terms of sort of finalising how we will do that. And I think it's fair to say if you'd have looked 5 years ago, we felt there was a really obvious solution was around a second interconnector. We know there's now been a lot of conversation that there may be alternatives to that. And I think it's absolutely right that when we're looking at investing significant amounts of taxpayer money, that we ensure that we've done all of the background work so that we make a decision that is the one that hasn't got regrets for us. And sometimes things we thought seemed really obvious 5 years ago, sometimes with the benefit of more evidence and new technologies, can seem not necessarily the most obvious now. So that's a lot of the work that has been going on behind the scenes. I think we have had the opportunity to do some of that additional scoping work, but all of that does obviously put us at risk around the timeframes. And it's a fine balance, I would say, between meeting the targets, but also making sure we make the right decisions. And that's the delicate balance that we're working within at the minute.
Something you said at the beginning of our discussion was that the targets were going to be challenging to begin with. As you'll know, the Climate Change Act 2021 doesn't just set aspirational targets, they're actually legal obligations. Has the government just set itself up to fail there?
So I don't think it's about setting ourselves up to fail. I think it's about making sure we have ambitious targets. And absolutely, our objective is to reach those. But as I say, when we're spending significant quantities of taxpayer money, as in situations such as, for example, the interconnector, which we know we're talking in excess of £100 million, that is a significant investment for a budget that we have, such as on the Isle of Man. And it's absolutely imperative that we make the right decisions. So I absolutely stand by the importance of us having a Climate Change Act and putting those objectives down in law, because I think what it does is it ensures that we are working towards those objectives, not just on a whole government level, but also on a department by department level. We've introduced the work around climate impact assessments, and they're now statutory across all public bodies. That's forcing people to have that conversation. That's all come because we've made those targets very rigid within the Climate Change Act. So I think that's very important. However, as I say, when we're spending those significant sums of money, it's absolutely imperative that we are very confident that those decisions we're making are correct.
And you spoke about the interconnector, so I'll bite. Is decarbonising electricity even possible without a second interconnector? Because that forms almost the majority, at least, of the decarbonisation of electricity by 2030.
So I think one of the things we've always said is we would need some form of interconnection. I think the question is, what we would interconnect into. And we know that there have been conversations about some alternatives that might exist, whether that be an interconnection directly into the UK, or whether that be interconnection potentially from an offshore project. And I know that's been widely talked about. Some of those options just weren't there in any sort of confidence when we first discussed the climate change plan. We're now in a slightly different place. And I think it's right that we look at that, we explore that, we take those opportunities that may well exist. But interconnection of some form will form part, I'm sure, of where we end up. But it's been interesting to see some of the work, for example, of the Energy Sustainability Centre, where they've actually put a model together that allows you to sort of move different things around and actually see what the different models that we could use for the island are. And of course, there really are multiple different models we might use. Some of that looks at battery storage, some of that looks about pumped hydro. We've got a commitment already around onshore wind and onshore solar. And obviously those are live projects in terms of live discussions that will go through the appropriate processes. But that's only 30 megawatts, and we know that that's not sufficient for the island's needs. So there is still a significant piece that would need filling in, and the interconnection is a significant element of that.
And if the interconnector is not delivered in time, is there a viable plan B?
So I think there are some other options that do exist, and some of those are things where, again, it's all about having a conversation, and that's very much the scoping work we're doing at the minute to be enabled us to have an informed conversation. At the minute, we know that we do export energy. There are options we could take where we could choose not to do that. That would reduce our local production. There's all sorts of moving parts, I think, to this, and it's certainly been fascinating for me to understand just how complex it really is.
And what would you say to people who are being told that the island is acting on climate change, but this report highlights in many areas that the opposite is actually true?
So I'd say that we really have started with those things that represent win-win opportunities. So not only are we addressing emissions, but we're also looking to benefit people through either their bills or through what's available to them in a manner that suits. And we're looking at that through a future scheme as well. What I would say, and I go back, I suppose, the bigger projects that are the things that will achieve our bigger emissions targets are the ones that require significant investment. And absolutely rightly, we're doing all of the appropriate scoping work to make sure that we make those decisions in an informed manner.
So is achieving net zero still a priority for the Manx government?
Yes, absolutely.
And just a final question, just a yes or no answer, if you will. Do you believe the Isle of Man will meet its legal obligations by 2030?
It's very hard because of the, and I would give you a yes or no, but that would be for me to predetermine things such as planning and so on. And I just am not in a position to be able to do that. What we want to do is make sure that we do everything within our power to get ourselves to that position. But it's absolutely right that the appropriate systems are in place to make sure that that is done in a way that reflects everyone's voice.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.